Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We are so excited to welcome our first basketball guest of the season. This guy is college basketball's hungriest insider. He is the guy you need to follow on Twitter, the man you need to know when it comes to college basketball, John Rothstein with CBS. He was so fun, Mac. I cannot wait for our listeners to hear this interview.
Kelly, John was awesome. Really loved that interview. We talked about life. We spoke about basketball. It was a lot of fun. But before we jump into it, let me tell you about our friends over at Traeger Grills. Wood fire food is the way Mother Nature intended cooking to be. Cooking over a fire is what makes us human. And simply, guys, it tastes better. I love my Traeger grill. I use it all the time. You guys see my pictures, the stuff we put on social media. And then I tell you about it right here. It's 100% all natural hardwood fuel infused into your food with a healthy and flavorful layer of natural smoke. If you guys like wood fire pizza, I just did some of those on the Traeger. It was outstanding. I would much rather flavor my food with wood fire smoke over gas or charcoal any day. Ask a barbecue enthusiast, ask a barbecue pro. They're going to tell you to taste the Traeger difference. Guys, go find your local Traeger dealer today. You can visit TraegerGrills.com. Find your local dealer.
Great stuff, Mac. Again, I am hungry, as I am every single time. Let's get to John Rothstein. Let's tell you about him first. He has been a college basketball insider for CBS Sports since 2010 and a contributor to the CBS Broadcast Network since 2016, serving as both a sideline reporter and a studio analyst. He hosts the podcast College Hoops Today with John Rothstein via Compass Media and the only college basketball podcast that runs 52 weeks out of the calendar year. I listened to his interview with Mike Young the other day, and it was really good. He is also an in-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio. He is also the host of Stuffed with John Rothstein via Malka Sports.
Listen, John is college basketball's hungriest insider. You heard Kelly say that earlier. He's a must-follow on Twitter if you're a college basketball fan. Listen, the t-shirts, the fun sayings, he's got it all. You can find all of his excellent basketball content on his website, collegehoopstoday.com. And prior to joining CBS Sports, Rothstein worked for both ESPN Radio and MSG Network, where he served as a college basketball insider from 2007 to 10. He also makes regular national speaking appearances where he discusses leadership, life skills, and the state of college basketball. It was a ton of fun, Kelly.
John Rothstein is a college basketball savant, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts on the ACC this season. Let's get to it.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
All right, welcoming John Rothstein, who is a college basketball savant. He is a college basketball guy through and through, and we're transitioning from ACC football season to ACC basketball season. So let's start with John here. What is it about the sport of college basketball that you love covering, that you love so much? What makes this sport great, John?
Well, guys, you know, I've been known to tweet from time to time that college basketball is where the unexpected becomes the ordinary. And I think that really sums up the sport in a nutshell. And I think the thing that really intrigues people about college basketball is that on any given night, anything can happen. And our sport is decided in a one-game tournament setting where in a 40-minute span, we have absolutely no idea about what can transpire. And I think if you look at, obviously, some of the tournament results over the last decade and over the history of time, it reiterates that unpredictability.
John, I love that. And I want to go back to your Twitter there because you've coined some phrases, right? We sleep in May. Some people have hobbies. I watch college basketball. You know, this is March. Other specific things, and you actually just sent a couple out today. You started selling merch. You started selling T-shirts. Well, where did that come from? Was it just the Twitter storm and people, you know, going crazy? Or is this something you always kind of wanted to do?
Well, is this a 20-minute podcast or a 2-hour podcast?
Yeah, up to you. Up to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing, guys, that, you know, and we're all in this together because all three of us had a dream to make a career in media. And I think all three of us at
one time or another, you know, had to get low before we could rise up, because this is an unforgiving business. But, you know, from the years that I've spent working in sports media, working in broadcasting, working in journalism, the biggest thing that I've learned over time is that you have to be authentic in everything that you do. And I think that people, you know, often aspire to look at others in the field who have reached a high point and say, well, I want to be the next this person, or I want to be the next that person. And the truth is, all of us should aim to be the first and best version of ourselves, because that's all that matters. And another thing, you know, guys, that I think about is, you know, we obviously have different, you know, aspects of this business. There's play-by-play guys. There's obviously color analysts. There's all these different, obviously, avenues for people to make a name for themselves. And I'm somebody who, you know, didn't play at a high level, didn't coach at a high level, but obviously had a passion for the sport and have developed in, you know, 15 years on the feet, a deep network of Rolodex. And I knew that obviously being in the information business, you know, you had to obviously be well-informed. You had to obviously have the perspective of talking to coaches, talking to people in the know, being in front of the news. But that doesn't transcend the space. That doesn't put you in a situation where you are completely separating yourself from everybody else. And I'm somebody who, in addition to my passion for college basketball, also have a passion for life and also have a passion for food. And I've incorporated all of those things into what I do each and every day. And it's ironic because over time, you know, especially in the social media age, you know, we all have to obviously be on top of news and, you know, obviously have our perspective on different events that are happening in college basketball. And without that, you don't have a foundation for what you do. But I find over time that one-liners, sayings, catchphrases, and just your overall zest for life resonates a lot more than breaking a story on a coaching hire or a player committing or going to the NBA draft. And I also think, as far as, you know, the merchandise goes, you know, that wasn't my idea. I had an outside marketing company reach out to me about a year and a half ago and to say, like, you know, you have an opportunity here to market yourself in a different way. And I thought that was an unbelievable opportunity to give back. So I'm happy to say, and, you know, I obviously hashtag them, you know, every now and so often, you know, when I tweet that, you know, a portion of the proceeds of, you know, the merchandise, the line that I have launched goes back to a great charity and Mission Continues that looks after our veterans when they come back from combat and war. And, you know, so much, you know, I think in our initial, obviously, attempt at ascension as this business is about getting, because we want to prove to ourselves that we can make a career in sports media. But what I have learned is that giving back is a lot more rewarding than receiving. And, you know, I'm proud to say that that's something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in along the way.
John, that's, I'm about awesome. To run through a freaking wall. You got me jacked up this morning, man. That was a great answer and very cool to hear that last tidbit. My father is still active duty in the Air Force, my brother, cousins, uncles. So that's really cool to hear, man, and something I did not know. So much respect and thank you for doing something like that.
No, I mean, you know, and again, as we get a little bit older, our perspective changes a little bit. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing too, guys, and, you know, we have so many people, obviously, who want to give big opinions and want to obviously treat this like, you know, it's probably a lot more important than it is. But, you know, we got into this because we love sports and we love being on the air and we love reporting. That stuff's supposed to be fun. You know, I remember vividly, and, you know, my mother and father were both in education and they're the best teachers that I've had in my life. But I remember, you know, vividly as, you know, a child talking to my father about his job, and he liked his job, but he didn't love his job. And I remember vividly him telling me, like, you know, a couple of days a year, you know, that he just really didn't want to go to work. And I have never, ever woken up and he even felt like I'm going to work. When you have a career and you don't have a job, you are building towards something every day. And I tell people all the time, you know, if I was to go back and tell myself something 20 years ago about everything I've learned in the last two decades, it would be simple. I would say, young man, I cannot promise you riches, but what I can promise you is the chance to have the best day of your life 24 hours at a time.
That's awesome. I love it. And yes, you're right. That's the goal in this business, John. And I love the fact that the Will Wade American Gangster shirts are going to charity. You know, that a portion of that's going to charity. That's excellent. And I love so many of your sayings. The stay positive, test negative. Oh, that is so good these days. We need it. But let's talk some ACC hoops specifically, John, if we can. You have six ACC teams in your latest Rothstein 45 rankings. No teams in the top 10, which is reflective of the AP poll and pretty much all the metrics right now. How would you describe the ACC as a league so far this season?
Very balanced. And I think what happens with great balance is your blue blood and your flagship programs are not performing at their normal vintage level. This isn't a vintage North Carolina team. This isn't a vintage Duke team. This is not a vintage, you know, even Virginia team. And, you know, the new blood to the group, Florida State, has not, for all intents and purposes, you know, because of different COVID issues and other issues, really had all hands on deck. So we're still sorting things out in the ACC, but it's given an opportunity for other teams to come to the forefront. Virginia Tech and Clemson are two of the surprise teams in the country. And guys, I really think when you look long term right now, the team to keep an eye on long term in the ACC is Louisville. This team has lost one game. The game was played at Wisconsin without Carly Jones. And now all of a sudden, this is a team that you have to remember is functioning this year and is playing this year for all intents and purposes without 40% of its projected starting lineup. Charles Minlin, the grad transfer from San Francisco, has yet to play this year. And so is Malik Williams. So I see big long-term upside at the University of Louisville.
I love that. And let's dive into a couple of teams as you just did a little bit there. Clemson, you know, is your highest ranked team at 12. They're also at 12 in the AP poll. What do you like about the Tigers this season? And, you know, what do you think is their ceiling in terms of how they can finish, what they can accomplish this year?
Well, you know, first of all, I think, and this is obviously a broader scope than the ACC, but it's something that needs to be pointed out. You know, we have seen, obviously, athletic directors stand by their coach and it pay major dividends. And that is, you know, I think directly correlated to what's happened with Brad Brownell at Clemson. He got a vote of confidence a couple of years ago from his administration. Clemson went to a Sweet 16 in 2018. And right now, I think they've got an excellent chance to finish in the top third or higher of the ACC. Guys, you can say the same thing about what's happened at Texas. Shaka Smart's job is very much in question toward the end of last season. He had a nice rally late in the year. Obviously, they brought everybody back. They added a dynamic freshman in Greg Brown. Now you look at that basketball team, and it's a team, again, that is playing as well as anybody in college basketball with the exception of Gonzaga. So I think sometimes the support for coaches, you know, opens up a door to give them an extended period of time. And in that extended period of time, you see a lot of people maximize the opportunity. Brad Brownell is doing that right now at Clemson.
He is. That's a great point, John. And he's done a lot of great work at Clemson, which we know is very much a football school, but right now, maybe a little bit of a basketball school. You mentioned Louisville. You have Louisville at 16 in your Rothstein 45. I agree with you on that. They have to get healthy and we'll see if they can. What do you make of the idea that Louisville, who's one of the blue bloods, I would say, not exactly North Carolina Duke level, but a blue blood, sure, being led by a mid-major transfer? And same thing with Virginia Tech with Keve Aluma. What do you make of this little trend in the ACC?
You know, this is where college basketball is going. And I know, you know, the Division I Council delayed, you know, voting on the one-time transfer rule on Monday, and they haven't yet announced, you know, when they're going to obviously visit that issue. But this is where we're headed right now in college basketball. And, you know, really what's unfortunate is it's going to shortchange a lot of kids that are in high school, because you are going to see a scenario where college coaches, unless they're getting the best high school kids in the country, they are going to opt to be in a situation where they look to take a transfer rather than take a high school kid to plug a gap. And it's going to be a revolving door. Mid-major programs who lose their best players to power conferences are going to take players in power conferences who maybe aren't getting the same type of minutes that they would like to command. And also then mid-major programs are going to take low major programs players and even Division II players or Division III players that they think can plug a gap. Another thing, too, guys, to think about is, you know, redshirting players has obviously paid major dividends for a lot of programs. Think back to the last two national champions. In the last two national championship games, Villanova and Virginia played a combined 16 players. 9 of those players redshirted, 4 were first-round picks, and 2 were lottery picks. And in addition to that, redshirting, especially when you're a transfer, helps in the bottom line of securing the ability to earn a degree and graduate. You know, I believe right now, according to a U.S. News report I read a couple of years ago, every college athlete loses between 12 and 18 credits. And again, I know that the NCAA has, you know, a lot of things to rectify here, especially on this topic. But the goal of the NCAA was always for student athletes and players to have the best possible experience while earning a degree. Right now, obviously, that's not obviously at the focus and the priorities.
I love that. And you know, we're going to see the very same thing with football. And it's going to be interesting to see. And actually, the fact that, you know, the high schoolers are the people that are going to be hurt just because of the opportunity. You're going to take an older guy. You're going to take an older experienced athlete other than someone that you have to develop that maybe one day, you know, they develop into a superstar. Let's focus in on the Hokies a little bit here. We know Mike Young is popping like Orville Redenbacher. That's one of your phrases. That's one of Kelly's favorite things to say. How impressed have you been with the job that he's done so far this season?
Well, you know, it's looking like a tremendous hire by Whit Babcock, the athletic director at Virginia Tech. And, you know, the ironic thing to me, guys, is you look at this Virginia Tech team, and there are players right now who are integral pieces of a team that's playing exceptionally well in the ACC who were recruited to play mid-major basketball. Justin Mutz is a grad transfer from Delaware. Kevin Aluma, transfer from Wofford. Hunter Couture was a player that was going to play for Mike Young at Wofford because they were trying to sell him on being the next Fletcher McGee. So I think all things considered, and the fact that, you know, Mike Young has recruited also a couple of top 100 guards and they're not playing ahead of some of the other players in Virginia Tech's rotation, it's another example of the importance of trusting your eyes in evaluations versus maybe leaning on recruiting rankings.
Exactly right. He's done a great job at Virginia Tech. I've been super impressed. I never thought he would leave Wofford, so it's well done for him. Let's talk about, again, back to some of these blue bloods here. You can't, even though they're not the best teams in the league this year, you can't ignore them because they just have those brands. Yeah. Duke and Virginia have looked okay this season. I think that's the word I would go with, but not great, at least not up to their standards.
Sure.
Which team between Duke and UVA do you believe in the most moving forward this season?
I need to see Duke for an extended period of time with Jalen Johnson in the lineup.
Yeah.
That's to me the biggest key. We need to evaluate Duke with all hands on deck. I think part of it too is we are evaluating, you know, Virginia based on a non-conference schedule that was fragmented. They were supposed to play Florida at Mohegan Sun. They didn't get the opportunity. They were supposed to play Michigan State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They didn't get the opportunity. They wound up scheduling a game with Gonzaga. And obviously Gonzaga is running through everybody like a chainsaw through butter. So if we think back to last year, Tony Bennett's team didn't get off to the best start. They definitely struggled. And then we looked up at the end of the year and they were 15-5 in, you know, ACC play, and the rest is history. So I'm not going to sell on Virginia yet, but, you know, we'll learn a lot about these teams, obviously, in the next 4 weeks or so, you know, as long as they can stay healthy and obviously active on the floor.
Yeah, I love that, man. And Gonzaga, what a great reference, because that's just how good they've been. And maybe, you know, looking at a team similar to a North Carolina team a couple of years ago that wins every game, even in March Madness, by double-digit points, it's going to be interesting to see how does that team finish. But let's pivot to UNC, another blue blood that is struggling and struggling mightily to even shoot the ball. Now, I know one of the biggest concerns and problems is the fact that they just haven't played basketball. You know, I have so many, you know, Tar Heel followers on Twitter that I'm seeing their things and they're just like, man, we get to play today. This is great. What's your current evaluation of the Tar Heel Hoops?
Just physically overwhelming inside. And, you know, they play ping pong on the backboards, but you know, whatever team has obviously flourished under Roy Williams, you know, during his, you know, tenure in North Carolina, where he's won three national championships, you know, it's always been really anchored by dynamic guard play. Ray Felton, Ty Lawson, Kendall Marshall, Joel Berry. And the point guards that he is relying on this year are going to be outstanding players, but they are freshmen. And that's something that, you know, can't be dismissed or overlooked whatsoever. I think it's a team that, again, looks like an what I thought at the beginning of the year, that the team that looks like an NCAA tournament team, but right now does not resemble a team that will be playing in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, which we should point out is an improvement from last year.
It is. And they look great coming off the bus. Like you said, they've got some behemoths on that team, but you don't have guard play and you can't shoot it. That's definitely a problem. Okay, let's finish with this, John, and we really appreciate your time today. We know you're one of the busiest men in sports media, I would argue. So is there a surprise team that's not in your Rothstein 45 rankings that you think can make a run, at least make the tournament, maybe win a game from the ACC? Is there a team that we need to keep an eye on?
That's a great question. A team not ranked right now that you think could turn things around? And it has to be an ACC team.
Yes, it does. Unfortunately, there may not be one to choose, and that's fine.
Well, I'll say this: you know, I had Miami ranked in the Rothstein 45 to start the season, and I thought a Miami team with Sam Wardenburg, Chris Lice, Cam Augusti was going to be a team that, you know, could challenge for an NCAA tournament berth and maybe, you know, have a chance to advance in the NCAA tournament. That's one if it can get healthy. And I'll also say Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's a team that once Josh Pastner, you know, finally started to go live in practice, we saw Georgia Tech start to play some really good basketball. They beat North Carolina. They beat Kentucky. They're currently on a pause now to COVID-19. But those are two teams that, sure, I think have the ability, along with Syracuse, to, you know, potentially play their way into the back end of the bracket in the NCAA tournament.
Syracuse every year, right? Syracuse could, as long as they get in, you never know.
Before you go, I'd like for you to leave our listeners with this, because I think, you know, the motivation that you kind of gave me earlier in the show, and I think you can answer this really well. I get questions, emails, messages all the time about, you know, where do I start? I want to be an analyst. I want to be in this business. How do I get in? What's my first thing that I have to do? What do you tell people when you get those type of inquiries to just get started? What would be just a small piece of advice that you could give to anybody who wanted to get into this business?
If you're talking about making a career in sports media, if you're talking about being fortunate enough to make a living covering sports, being on the air, reporting on sports for a living, you are asking and you are attempting to do something that is abnormal. And that means that if you're attempting to do something that is abnormal from the rest of the world, then you need to live abnormally. There is no secret to success in this business. It is how hard are you going to work each and every day for the rest of your life. I was somebody who, you know, knew very early what I wanted to do. I am somebody who, you know, finished college in 3 years because I had to finance a lot of it myself, and then worked 4 or 5 jobs until I got a full-time job in broadcasting. And, you know, the time to obviously let up in this business is never, because if you have a dream, you have to protect it, even if you think you've tasted it. But the biggest thing that I want to pass down to people is this: the process of becoming what you're supposed to become is much more rewarding than the moment you get where you thought you dreamed to go. And that's something that I didn't know when I was younger and trying to climb. And I want to point this out too. I am very far away from where I aspire to be in sports media right now. I have miles to go. I have to keep improving every single day. But I know this: I can't go back to my parents' basement. I can't let that happen. I have no choice to work as hard as I can each and every day for the rest of my life. And, you know, I, for a long time, I think saw people who knew people who had an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, you know, a brother, a sister, a rabbi, a priest that would look out for them and get them opportunities. And, you know, I'll be serious with you guys, I was envious. But then I realized after a while, I said, you know what? If you get what you want to get in this business, you'll have earned it. And if you don't, you'll manage. You don't have to live up to anybody else's expectations because you are who you are. And I think that's one of the things that put me at peace with all this. And if there is one thing that I would ever want to give back to anybody out there listening, to anybody out there who right now has a dream to be in this business and isn't getting emails back and isn't getting calls back, I am tangible proof that you can make a career out of this and have no prior connections. And that's the biggest thing that I want to stand for every day for the rest of my life. There are no secrets. There are no, you know, magic sauces in this business. How hard do you want to work each and every day for the rest of your life? Are you going to be professional? Are you going to be somebody who's a great ambassador for you and your company? And more importantly, what type of a person are you going to be? We live in a day and age right now where Schadenfreude is more common, I think, than it's probably ever been more common in our society's history. And for me, I know regardless of what's going on in my personal life, I am going to make sure that for those around me in my circle, I am extremely happy for their success. And I'm as happy or more happy when somebody else I know has something great happen to them. You know, a good friend of mine in this business who, you know, is in the ESPN family, you know, John Shambi does a great job, was recently named the television voice of the Chicago Cubs. I don't think I've ever been more happy for somebody else than I was when I found out that, you know, John Shambi got that job. And it goes back to what I said for people out there who want to call the Super Bowl, who might want to do a sideline assignment for the national championship game. Once you get that assignment and once you nail those hits or once you make that final touchdown call, when you take your headset off, you're going to be the same person. You are not going to be more complete as a person when you finish those dreams. And that's important to remember. And it's also important to remember, and I didn't do this because I was so tunnel vision on college basketball, to continue to have the ability to really, I think, broaden yourself with different topics. I remember I had a coach telling me once when I was visiting him that, you know, I was just too focused, I was too committed, it was 24/7 and so on and so forth. And then, you know, I started to think about this, like, you know, like I have, you know, a passion to read. I have a passion, obviously, for music. I have a passion, you know, to obviously, like, you know, quote movies and understand movies and, you know, taste great food and, you know, so on and so forth. And once I had that conversation, when I would go and be social with people at different parties or different outings, whether it was weddings or whatever, all of a sudden, if you push yourself to maybe have conversations that aren't so centered on this little bubble that we live in called sports media, you become a better person. Maybe try to broaden ourselves a little bit more instead of talking about whether or not the ACC is going to get 7 bids in or the Atlantic 10 is going to get 3. Maybe do a little research on our own part and say, you know, was Phil Collins really better with or without Genesis? And as we continue to do this, I think we all realize that for as far as we come in our respective journeys, we all have a long way to go.
That's awesome. I'm clipping this off and I'm listening to it every morning when I get out of bed.
And I guess what you're saying, John, is that the next wedding I go to, I shouldn't strictly focus on talking bubble teams. So
that's right.
I'll work on that. Thank you so much, John, for joining us. We really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon. And we sleep in May, right?
Stay hungry, stay humble.
John Rothstein, what a guy. Mac, did you expect to be so inspired after that Rothstein interview or before we did it?
I did not. I didn't think I'd be running through walls in my house, being so jacked up this morning. But that's what John can do. And it's funny, you know, I didn't know John going into this and had seen him, of course, on Twitter because he's that big of a deal. But actually getting to speak to him and hear him talk and just his position on life is, it's inspiring and it's really cool. And it's great to kind of remind both you and I that this isn't real life what we do. We're so blessed, so honored to be able to serve our ACC fans and to hear somebody else who's on a little bit of a bigger stage like he is and you know, much bigger following. It's cool to hear that from him.
He has such a great perspective. And check out that website, College Hoops Today. We said it a few times, collegehoopstoday.com. He has a lot of great stuff for ACC fans. He has some ACC-centric merch, the Mike Young popping like Orville Redenbacher t-shirts. Those are excellent. So make sure you check those out. Mac, it's time for our ACC of the week, brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. We're bringing it back. We let it die a little bit during the end of football season because we had so much to talk about, but it is back. So let's start with our ACC, our athlete, coach, and craziness of the week. Because we're recording Tuesday, Thursday pods, the time frame we're looking here is really Thursday to Thursday. So that's the weeks that we're looking at. So with my athlete, I'm going to start with one of my favorite players in the ACC on the women's side. I love watching her play. I predicted before the year that she would lead the ACC in scoring. Ivana Raca.
Come on.
She's from Serbia. She has a very good chance to make the Serbian national team this summer for the Olympics. And in two wins this week, this past week, for her squad, in the Miami win last Thursday, she had 22 points and 14 boards. And then in the Boston College win where they blew them out, she had 16 points and 11 boards. I've compared her game to a Luka Doncic. Okay. Wow. That's the kind of game she plays as a women's player, a stretch four, super smooth, very crafty, uses the shot fake, is really an emotional player, which I like. She'll get in your face. She gets mad, but she also gets excited. So I love watching her play with so much passion. My athlete of the week, Ivana Raca from Wake Forest.
It sounds like we can have her on here every week by these performances. When you're comparing somebody to Luka Doncic, that's high praise. So I love that. And I think that's a great pick. My athlete this week, Tyrese Radford from Virginia Tech, a smaller guy, 6'2" guard, 200 pounds. But guys, he dominates the game of basketball. Against Duke, he put up 18 points, 12 rebounds. I just told you he's a 6'2" guard and goes in the paint like it's nothing. 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He is a big reason that Virginia Tech is who they are. He pushes the tempo. He's a guy that can do a multitude of things for you. Was a big problem for Clemson in that Clemson game. And you see, obviously, here for Duke. So I'm going with Tyrese Radford for my athlete of the week.
Mac, I love it. It's amazing how Virginia Tech can rebound with their lack of size. Keve Aluma is the tallest guy that starts for them. They out-rebounded Duke last night. They were plus one on the glass. We gave you that as a key. And when Duke started making some runs, they were rebounding the ball well. And so Virginia Tech had to weather the storm. I thought it was tough, too, for Tech to have to weather that storm without their fans, but they found a way to do it. So I love that pick. My coach of the week is Roy Williams. Now, he's at North Carolina. I don't know if you knew that, Mac. Some people might say, well, Kelly, you were just making fun of him, because I was on our last pod where I said, you know, he's always talking about he has all these freshmen and he acts like someone made him take all these freshmen. But I watched the North Carolina Syracuse game Tuesday night. I thought UNC had a great plan. I was worried about UNC because we all know Syracuse plays that stingy zone and UNC just flat out can't shoot. So I thought, okay, what is the plan here versus Syracuse? Are they going to be able to make enough shots to win? But I thought Roy Williams had a beautiful game plan. They did such a great job of getting the ball to the high post and then finding Brooks and Baycott and Sharp in the short corner. So they were able to still use their size versus the zone. And that is coaching. That was a great job by Roy Williams to figure out how to exploit the zone with the weapons he had. They only shot 21% from three and still were able to win the game. They got to the free throw line. Brooks and Baycott combined for 31 points and 22 boards. So shout out to Roy Williams, my coach of the week at North Carolina.
I love that. And watching that game, it was interesting going into me as well. What are they going to do? Because they can't shoot it. When you think of a zone, you know, people shoot you out of a zone. And we knew that wasn't going to be the case for North Carolina. I think, like you just mentioned, having those four bigs where they can just rotate, and your fourth big is a 7'1" monster that came in there and gave very valuable minutes. So it was impressive to see. I think that's a great pick. All right, I'm sticking with my hokey theme here for my coach, and I'm going with Mike Young. You heard from John what he's able to get out of his players. It's not a bunch of five stars running around. These are guys that some of them probably playing at mid-major schools if Mike Young isn't there, persuading them to come to Virginia Tech with him. He's bringing an unexpected swag. These guys are playing at a very, very high level. The balance, the attention to rebounding, really just going back to the fundamentals. Mike Young, my coach of the week.
I'm such a huge fan of Mike Young. I got to meet him when he was still the coach at Wofford. He is a stand-up dude, one of the great coaches, one of the great guys in college basketball. Mac, just a quick story. After I called a Wofford men's game a couple years ago, I was just getting my feet wet, just starting to call. It was my first men's game ever calling on a linear channel. Mike Young took the time after the game to message me on Twitter and said that I did a good job and to keep it up and that he'd be following me. So that's the kind of guy Mike Young is. He doesn't need to do that. He's a great guy. Okay, my craziness of the week. This is actually going to be on the football side, Eric McLean. Exactly. Charleston Rambo. A, heck of a name. All name team. That guy is a great name. But B, he is transferring to Miami. He was a wide receiver at Oklahoma, played there for 3 years. He's a grad transfer, though, so he's immediately eligible. Tallied over 1,000 yards at OU, 76 catches, 9 touchdowns. His best year was 2019 with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, 43 catches for 743 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was sharing a lot of the time at Oklahoma with so many other talented receivers. I think he has a very good chance to step in as that go-to guy for De'Aaron King next year at Miami. You add another playmaker to that group. As long as De'Aaron King can get healthy, which we know is a big if, but people are returning quicker and quicker from ACLs these days. I think this was a huge pickup for Miami. So Charleston Rambo to Miami, my craziness of the week.
I love that. This is a basketball podcast right now, but we found a way to get football in here. And guess what? The Miami hype train, full steam ahead for this offseason. I think he's going to be a great addition. You have Mike Harley coming back. You have a couple other key pieces. If De'Aaron King can be healthy, which knock on wood, we all hope that'll be the case. I think this can have kind of that Osborne effect that we saw a year ago from Miami, getting a guy in, having that instant impact. I love that, Kelly. I'm going back to basketball for my craziness, and it's a little bit negative, guys. I'm sorry. I'm always the one bringing the negative crazy, but listen to this. There is a chance that UNC and Duke are both not ranked in the AP poll come this next Tuesday. Guys, that hasn't happened since 1982. 702 straight polls with one of those teams being ranked. It just goes to show you how crazy the ACC is this year. There's no clear-cut winner. These blue bloods aren't playing like they're supposed to. So there's a chance that we have some crazy history this week coming on Tuesday.
That is flat out crazy, Mac. And when you said since 1982, and then you were about to say the 700 polls, I thought you were about to say 70 years ago in 1982.
That's right.
And I thought, oh, Mac, we gotta check our math.
I went to agriculture school. My math isn't great.
We're talking about these blue bloods, and that's going to be a theme on the pod, the lack of production from the blue bloods. We'll continue to talk about that. That was our ACC of the week. I want to remind you about our friends at Sunshine Beverages, who sponsor ACC of the week. Sunshine has that feel-good energy and is the perfect pick-me-up. It sparkles with vitamins, electrolytes, and has only 70 milligrams of natural caffeine that is sourced from organic green coffee beans. It has delicious flavors like blueberry lemonade, clementine twist, and ginger berry. Sunshine offers a balanced boost with great taste and better-for-you ingredients. You can find Sunshine at your local Publix or visit drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's drinkthesunshine.com. ACC10 is the code. Feel good energy. And make sure you vote in our Sunshine poll question of the week. We're going to have a great poll up this week about ACC men's basketball. If you respond to the poll and explain your answer, you are entered to win a free six-pack, a Sunshine six-pack, a sampler pack that we will mail to you. The Sunshine guys will get that out to you. So make sure you respond to the poll, enter to win, and you can taste these amazing flavors that Sunshine has to offer.
That's right, Kelly. We had a ton of people interacting with us on last week's poll. Now we're going to basketball. It's a fun question. If you didn't vote yesterday, go check it out today. I'll retweet it, I'm sure, at some point so everybody can see it. Guys, thanks for listening. This was such a fun episode. Big shout out to John for joining us. Big shout out for Kelly for getting him on the show. Just a lot of great insight, and hope you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop a little 5-star rating, a little review. We greatly appreciate that. Always fun hearing from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.